Welcome back to another interview on Rethink Peer-to-Peer Kredite. Today, I'm talking to Arunas Lekavicius, who is the CEO of the peer-to-peer platform PeerBerry. Hello, Arunas. Thanks for coming to the show and taking some time today.
Hello, Danny. Nice to talk with you and hello, all community. I'm really happy to be here.
All right. I'm very grateful that we finally found some time to discuss a few things in person now. First of all, how's your well-being? Last week you had to postpone the appointment because you didn't feel quite well. Right now you're back on track.
Yeah, of course. I just my feeling was a little bit not okay a few days. So, but everything now okay, and I'm fully focused on my work.
All right, great. That's good to hear. Health always a topic that, you know, is always, I think, of primary concern. So it's good to hear that you're well off again. Arunas, I would like to start this interview by asking you a few questions regarding the ownership structure of PeerBerry as well as the origin story of the company. So PeerBerry as a platform has been set up by Aventus Group, a big European non-bank lender, back in 2017. Why did the Aventus Group decide to sell PeerBerry back in January 2018 after I think the platform was maybe online for about 3-4 months?
Yeah, you are right. This platform was built, beginning of a platform was built by Aventus Group. But after operation was started, Aventus decided to sell it to private investors who has big experience in financing in IT sector, because Aventus planned to focus on the business development in Asia, in the North Europe, etc. So just the main reason not to start another business, but just focusing on the activity expansion to other markets.
Hmm. So the idea right from the beginning with PeerBerry was to set up the platform, make it run for a couple months, and then sell it to some private investors. So that was the initial idea, or was that somehow that, you know, came up throughout the process, or was that right from the get-go of PeerBerry planning the idea behind?
No, it was idea from the beginning, and it's also really good for the platform because our platform is independent now. We're working not only with Aventus Group, but also with GoFingo Group and other real estate developers. So it's just I see pluses from platform side.
Hmm. Okay. Back then, PeerBerry, as you already said, was sold to two private investors, namely Genrik Baitul and Ivan Butov. I was curious, you know, why them? And maybe you can also say a few words how the contact initiated with them and maybe in general, what has been the connection? Because I haven't seen any overlap throughout the different projects.
Let's start from the latest news, because Genrik Baitul sold his...
I would get to that in a minute. So just like from those two, so we get to the recent news in a minute, because I also have a few questions there. But just like from the very beginning, if you can recall, you know, just like the how the interaction or the engagement started with those two gentlemen that served more as, let's say, private investors that were more in the background. So briefly what the connection has been.
Yeah, actually, if we talk about Genrik Baitul, he was owner of IT company, and now he's one of the big IT company head, and recruiting and selling some IT solutions for credit companies, also to other companies. So it was good idea, I think, from Aventus side to found such good investor who has big experience in IT, because platform is solution. It's mainly works on IT side, and when we want to develop it, knowledge of IT, it's really important. If we talk about Ivan Butov worked and working as quality manager in big companies. Also, he related with credit companies and was in one of the, now this union is a bank, in credit committee, so he knows how to manage risk, scorings, etc. So probably that's it. Most important thing was experience of these investors who can develop and help to develop this platform.
So they have been known through the network of Aventus Group shareholders?
Yes.
Okay. I'm quite curious to understand, because like more or less I had the feeling that those two shareholders of PeerBerry, they have been very silent, so there was no public communication whatsoever, at least what I didn't find anything. So how can I, before that change happened, that recent change that we will get to in a minute, how was the overall line of communication with those two in the background? You know, you've been in place as the CEO of PeerBerry since January 2019. How regular have you been in an exchange with another, and what was the line of communications, also setting maybe targets? Maybe you can say a couple words on this.
Yeah, actually, I'm communicating a lot with our shareholders. That's absolutely normal. But I want to mention that we are not participating in a daily work on PeerBerry, and all activity of a platform handling by myself. So yeah.
Okay. Then we touched base on this already. On April 30th, there was a recent change in the ownership structure at PeerBerry. Igoris Trofimovas, who is a member of the board at PeerBerry, took over 50% of the shares from Genrik Baitur. What can you say? Why did this change happen? And to which extent is this also related to the upcoming licensing process in Latvia?
It's related because, as you know, we are in the process of obtaining license, and we planned this change approximately 1 year already. And Igor is participating quite active in all operations of our platform. As you mentioned, he is a member of the board from 2019. And we also planning and that Igor is more and more will be invited in daily activity of our platform, because he has big experience in real estate development, and as you see, also more and more we give opportunity to investors to invest in real estate loans. Also, he finished the University of Economics and Business Administration. So he has really good background.
Yeah, talking about his background, when I checked, as far as I know, Igoris is the brother of Andrejus Trofimovas, who is currently the CEO of Aventus Group. You know, after the beginning, Aventus, you know, trying, as you said, to be a bit more independent from the PeerBerry platform right from the start, it seems like both companies are now are stronger related than ever before. How do you see that trend, and what can you say in general about this?
Yeah, Igor is the brother of Andrejus. That's not a secret. And Igor is also approved by a regulator that he can become shareholder. There is no interest conflict at all. And as I mentioned, he was approved by a regulator. And everything, I think it's okay from platform perspective. So with Aventus, we have a long history of working now, and we are planning also new product, also some new market. So I just see it from positive side.
Okay, then let's shift a bit more also topic-wise towards Aventus Group. Personally, I was wondering what kind of information you could share in terms of contractual agreements between Aventus Group and PeerBerry, because, you know, obviously Aventus Group has a big impact, a big influence in terms of the loan origination on the platform. So what can you share, maybe how that collaboration exactly looks like, and how is it maybe also different from, let's say, non-affiliated loan originator companies?
Yeah, I would say that Aventus do not have exclusive agreement with PeerBerry. It depends on product and loans which we are listing. And as you know, platform earning just from commission fee. Our commission fee, it's from 1 to 5% annual rate, and all our partners, not only Aventus Group, paying different commission, and it depends on product, as I mentioned before. Yeah.
Mm. But in reality, does Aventus maybe pay a lower commission, maybe because they originate more funds through PeerBerry?
It depends on companies also. If, for example, a company operating more than 5 years has really good history, small amount of late loans, we have a bit better commission fee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that interests me, being in the short-term and unsecured consumer loan sector, you know, a default rate between 15 and maximum 20% to me seems extremely low. But often it was mentioned also on the PeerBerry blog that, Aventus is performing apparently that well. Can you explain why that is, and why is it suspiciously low, this kind of default rate?
The main reason that Aventus Group loan originators issuing loans, repeated loans, approximately 75% of all issued loans is repeated loans. It means that all these customers who receiving loans, we came back second, third, and fourth time to take a loan. And loan originators knows really good credit history of these customers, and it helps to keep such a small default and late percentage.
Mm. Okay, I see. Let's get to that loan originator assessment and monitoring process. I would like to know, when you onboard new loan originators on the PeerBerry platform, what are the general requirements that they need to fulfill in order to fund their loans via PeerBerry? So is there some sort of guidelines and rules that you have in place?
Yes, we have internal procedures, and we're tracking debt ratio, performance of customers, late ratio, financial statements all the time. So it's really important. If, for example, we all know that if a company startup, for example, need approximately 2 years that this company become profitable. So we have only a few companies in our platform who is not profitable at the moment, but the depth of these companies is really small. So we are tracking all the time.
Hmm. Okay. And how does the monitoring of your loan originators work, and how frequently do you also look at their data?
Actually, I'm have with every loan originator heads or CEOs meetings every week. We have Skype calls, Zoom calls, etc. Also, I have all live connection to the portfolios, how we performing, and I just online can see all data of these loan originators. So it's really easy to manage the risk.
Mm. Okay. Now that you mentioned already a couple of guidelines that you look at when assessing also loan originators, you know, can you be a bit more specific in that case and maybe point out, okay, with the debt ratio, what are the exact numbers or thresholds that you look at What can you share? Like, really, what are specific numbers that you look at, and you know, which kind of standards does PeerBerry have when assessing then also their companies?
Yeah, we are tracking for not tracking, but we are looking, for example, how much or how many customers in, for example, delays loans in 5 days, from 50 to 30 days, and from 30 days to 60 days. Also, default rate of every loan originator. We have guidelines that default rate can be higher than 20%. Also, as we talk at debt level can be higher than 45% of the loan originators. This is the main points, I would say.
Okay. Thanks for sharing this. What is your forecast in general for adding new loan originators to the platform? How does the current pipeline look like?
As we now in the process of obtaining investment brokerage company license, we agreed with the regulator. Also, our full focus is to get this license. So we're not planning to add any new group of loan originators. Actually, and our partners have some plans to expand the activities in some countries. So probably we have, but it's from GoFingo or Aventus Group. But outside this group, we are not planning to add any loan originators on this year for sure.
Okay, I see. Well, the licensing is an interesting topic. Let's elaborate on this a bit further. What is the current status for obtaining the brokerage firm license in Latvia? Because to me, honestly, it seems a bit like, I think like I did some content on this the end of last year, and everyone seemed quite confident to obtain the license by Q1, latest Q2, and as we're now in the middle of May, still nothing really happened. So what's the current status here? What can you say? Why is it a bit like later than everyone was expecting last year?
It's a really difficult process, I would say, because we also closely cooperating with other platforms and with regulator. Because this is absolutely new regulation for the P2P platforms. And I would say that regulator also greeting with us this regulation of the sector. So it takes time. If we talk about our company status, latest package of the AML procedure we provided to regulator on beginning of February. So we are in collaboration with regulator, but exact dates when we get the license, I can't tell you now, but, and it depends on regulator side, because then all platforms at the same time obtaining and fill that application to get the license. It takes time to analyze all documents, discuss with every platform, etc., etc. So, yeah.
So can you disclose maybe, you know, like just when you personally expect that this licensing will go through finally?
I really hope till the end of the year. Yeah, I really hope. But, you know, we can't push somehow regulator and because it depends on them now, because we provided all necessary information, all necessary documents.
One part of the licensing process is also the equity position. And interestingly enough, in the recent press release where you also announced the new shareholder, you also said that the licensing would come with also an increase of the share capital position, you know, as part of obtaining that brokerage firm license. How much will it actually increase that equity position, to which level?
By regulation, minimum equity is 125,000 euros. We actually planning to increase a bit more, and it would be from 150 to 200,000 euros.
Okay. From my personal understanding, there's like various levels of this brokerage firm license, and I think it can go up to, I think, around 730,000 euro, which also would then enable platforms to operate with a secondary market. PeerBerry, yeah, not having a secondary market in place, I'm assuming this is also nothing that you're looking at in the near future then, when you following like the equity position that you want to increase to, right?
Yes, you are right, because we are not planning to launch in nearest future secondary market, and it depends on equity size. It depends on this, you have secondary market or not.
Yeah,
but I don't know, maybe one day after we have received this license, maybe we will think about secondary market, and for sure we can increase, we must increase our share capital.
All right. Let's switch to the annual reports, also something that companies in the future will be obliged to when obtaining the license. As for 2020, when is PeerBerry supposed to publish the annual reports for last year? Talking about AV Marketplace, what can you say?
As we have this quarantines and under Latvian regulations, it was postponed until the latest day when company can add financial reports. It's 31st of July, but we are planning to have it sooner. I hope till the end of June we will have it. Yeah, and if we talk about the result of the marketplace, I think that the result will be a bit better than last year. We will profitable, but need to understand that we invested a lot of in our IT solution. Also, we launched our mobile application. We had quite difficult middle of the year in 2020, because in all platforms portfolios was decreased, as we had a COVID situation.
And so, okay, so you revealed already how the company performed last year. You again assume it will be at least a profitable year, you know, which is, you know, not too shabby considering the circumstances of last year. Will the report also be audited this time?
No, this year not, because as we obtained the license, we provided all information to regulator. And I would say that all operations, all financial statements, and everything of the platform was reviewed by a regulator and approved. So if we do another audit, let's say, we will not become twice better as the platform. But we are planning in the future have this audit reports, and after we receive licenses, for sure we will have it.
Yeah, why is that? Maybe you can elaborate and just say two more words regarding why the reports haven't been audited in the future. Is that a matter of cost, or what is the reason why you haven't audited your financial reports in the past?
Platform earning only from commission, and this is not a huge business, I would say. Cost, we all the time we trying to be efficient as possible, and it's matter of cost for sure. And as I mentioned, now when we obtaining the license, regulator reviewing everything. Also every year tax authority approving in Latvia financial statements. So it's everything it's clear on financial statements, and I don't see any point to do additional audit of it.
Then I would like to continue discussing with you a bit like the pandemic effects last year, and also surfacing a bit the buyback guarantee. Now, PeerBerry collects a 10% reserve from the loan book value of their loan originators, then in order to process withdrawal requests at any time, which I think is then also one of the reasons why there was no such liquidity issue on PeerBerry last year. But maybe you can talk a bit how crucial the situation has been last year in March and April, when clearly, and we can also see it on the statistics of PeerBerry, when investors have been withdrawing bigger amounts from the platform. What was the overall situation? How close have you been to say, like, maybe this 10% reserve is not enough, and we're very close to, you know, also postponing withdrawal requests?
I want to clarify that not PeerBerry collecting this 10%. It's just our partners who has a reserve of 10% of that. Talking about last year, March and April and half of May, actually our portfolio was decreased at approximately 40%, so it's a huge amount. And only with such a strong partners as Aventus, GoFinGo, we can settle with all investors on time, let's say straight after they requested or pushed withdrawals button. So it was really important and to have this reserve on partner side. Also, this it's at what we are talking before. Debt level, it was so important at these times, because our partners debt level was no more than 40%, and it means that we can return all money to investors during 1 or 2 months period. So yeah, it was really important.
Could you talk about the net withdrawal deposit ratio on PeerBerry back then in those crucial months? There was a few examples from other platforms that have opened up and talked about those numbers. Can you also share with PeerBerry, you know, presumably how much more funds have been withdrawn rather than newly deposited in this crucial time, the first half of last year?
As I mentioned, our portfolio overall was decreased by 40%. So we had such days when withdrawal, we done withdrawals approximately 500,000 euros per day and received only 20 or 30,000 euros deposits. So, and we have approximately with such numbers, 1 month, 1 month and a half.
Okay, next up, I would like to talk about the buyback guarantee, or as many call it now, buyback obligation. Personally, as well as within my community, there's always a bit like twisted feelings when there's something like a buyback guarantee in place. Personally, for how reliable do you consider the buyback guarantee on PeerBerry, which obviously is promised by the loan originators, but obviously you advertise it as well on the platform. How reliable would you consider this functionality on a scale from 1 to 10 on PeerBerry?
I would say it's 10 or even more, because in our platforms, any investor had any issues with withdrawals, we settle all the time on time. And if we overall we check PeerBerry and how often buyback guarantee it's turned on, it's from portfolio approximately 1 or 2% only loans which need the buyback guarantees. So everything working just perfect, I would say.
Have there been moments when, because I don't want to elaborate on the entire concept behind your buyback guarantee, but just to say the least, you know, there's obviously on one side, there's a buyback guarantee. And at the same time, there's also in parts a group guarantee. Question from my side, has there been or have there been moments when this sole buyback guarantee was not good enough, and instead also this group guarantee had to be applied in the past?
No, we never had such cases that additional guarantee or group guarantee was turned on.
Okay, so that means that whenever a single or an individual loan originator faced some difficulties in the past, they were able to solve it themselves, so the group didn't have to step in and cover for the misery of one specific loan originator in one country, for instance.
Yes, you are right. All the time.
Okay. Finishing up this interview, I would have a couple of random questions that are not, you know, like related to a bigger overall topic. First question from my side, how in general do you think the interest rates will develop on the PeerBerry platform in the mid as well as in the long term?
Mm-hmm. It, of course, depends on our partners and how much need them to borrow money from the investors. And actually, what is really important, I think that slightly interest rates will be decreased after platforms received license, because this, let's say, not regulated on platforms which not planning to go under regulation, we can offer a bit higher percents for investors. But regulated platforms, I think in the future can offer a bit less percentage to the investors.
Could you explain the connection? Because obviously the interest rate is coming from the loan originator, which remains a non-bank lender in most cases. So it doesn't necessarily, or the regulation doesn't necessarily impact the platform as such. Of course, there will be different costs involved. But do you say like, okay, you want to cut in a bigger commission for PeerBerry, which is necessary because of the regulation, or what's that general connection? Why do you think it will decrease as a consequence of the regulation?
Actually, and regulations in countries, which our partners providing loans also becoming regulated more and more. And we have some caps of, for example, in Poland, we have caps of interest rate. So it means that we can't pay a huge percentage to the investors too, because we need to earn some money. After regulation platforms, also we will have more expenditures of our activities. It means that we need to earn more from our partners and maybe slightly increase our commission. And and our partners also calculating how much we can pay to investors, to platform overall. So it can be the case.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I thought with the regulation, okay, now you explained it both sides. Obviously, I thought you were only referring to the licensing process in Latvia, but obviously you're right. You know, credit regulations in any market, interest rate caps can obviously also impact a bit how the offered interest rate will develop in the future. What is a common question, you know, and something where companies can always, you know, like a bit shape their profile? You know, what is it that PeerBerry is doing differently compared to other platforms? Where do you see the competitive edge that your company has? You know, obviously considering there's many platforms out there in the market, what is it that PeerBerry is really doing differently? Currently kind of also receiving a bit of a hype, I would say, and a lot of people are, you know, joining the platform. What is PeerBerry doing differently than other companies in this area?
We actually tracking and controlling debt level of every loan originator. It's some different kind of risk management, I would say. And as we a lot of talking about these 45% of debt of every loan originator or group, so it's really important. Also, as I mentioned, we have online connection and a lot of discussion with every loan originator head on daily basis, on weekly basis, Yeah, we're working also only with partners with who we trust and we have a big experience. For example, Aventus Group operating more than 10 years in this market, and we are growing. So probably this is the main, this is what we're doing a bit differently from our platforms.
Understood. Okay. Thanks very much. And very last questions, you know, just give us an outlook. How do the plans, the growth plans for PeerBerry or at PeerBerry look like in the future? What is it that investors can expect also here, probably in the near term as well as in the midterm from the platform?
It's all the time. Plans of the platforms depends on the partners. How we see they growing, where we expanding the activities in which countries, etc. So if we talk about PeerBerry, I know that GoFingo, Aventus Group planning open new markets, for example, in Africa, etc. So we are planning to grow together with our partners, and I think that we can provide some new opportunities to our investors to invest in a bit different markets than before.
All right, so new markets, new expansion or bigger expansion, that's something that investors can expect, probably also a different level than obviously consequently of diversification. Okay, Arunas, thank you very much for taking some time today. Thanks for joining this interview.